Your Bible's to Jeremiah chapter 17. Brother Hamlin would say that's in the big part of your Bible, back there in the back. Good to have Brother Wesley with us today. Now, this is his last Sunday with us, and he's been visiting from South Carolina, but his job is moving him, and we're sorry to see you go, but glad you could be with us a little while. He came and thanked us for our hospitality. Jeremiah 17. How many of you are tired today from the tent meeting? You say, boy, but it's a good kind of tired, isn't it? Amen. And while you're finding that, I heard a story about two robins. Robins up in a tree, and they decided they were pretty hungry. So one said to the other one, well, let's fly down, eat some of those worms down there. So they fly down, and boy, the worms are everywhere, and they just gorge themselves with worms. And so the one looked at the other one, and he said, man, I'm full. He said, yeah, I'm pretty full, too. He said, it's a nice warm day. Let's just kind of lay here and bask in the sun a little bit. So lay down in the sun, and they're basking there. And no sooner had they gone to sleep, here comes a big, fat tomcat. And he comes along, and he thinks, ha-ha, this is for me. So he gobbles him up. And he's sitting there and he's kind of washing his face. You know how cats do after their meal. And he thought to himself, boy, don't I love Baskin Robbins. Oh my. Jeremiah 17. You know, some of you shake your head and you'll go home and say, let me tell you a good joke my preacher told today. Amen. Jeremiah 17, beginning in verse 1. Jeremiah 17, verse 1. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going through verse 17. Jeremiah 37. I thought that didn't look right. 37, 1 through 17. That's better. 37, 1 through 17. The Bible says, and King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord, which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. All right, you get the picture? People are not listening to what Jeremiah is saying. He's the prophet of God. Not listening. And Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Messiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now unto the Lord our God for us. Now Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for they had not put him into the prison. So they come and ask Jeremiah, hey, pray for us. Isn't it interesting? People don't want to hear about God, but when there's trouble, then they come, hey, pray for us, will you? Now, Jeremiah's coming in, going out. That means he's free. He's not in prison yet. Then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt. And when the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Get the picture now. Jerusalem is surrounded by the Chaldeans. They besieged the city. That means they surround it, won't let anybody in, won't let anybody out, trying to starve them to death. But they get wind that the armies of Egypt are coming. And so they get scared and they say, hey, we're not up to fight in Egypt. And they hightail it. All right, you with me? All right, let's read on. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say to the king of Judah, that sent you unto me to inquire of me. Behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against the city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remain but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire. So God says, hey, K Chaldeans are coming back. They're going to destroy your city. Don't think you have a victory here. Verse 11. It came to pass that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. And he was in the gate of Benjamin. A captain of the ward was there, whose name was Arijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he took Jeremiah, the prophet, saying, "Thou fallest away to the Chaldeans." He said, "Hey, you're a traitor. You're a traitor. You're on the side of the Chaldeans. Why? They're coming to destroy us." Then said Jeremiah, "It is false. I fall not away to the Chaldeans." But he hearkened not to him. So Arijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. Here's a man doing what's right. Here's a man proclaiming God's word. He ends up in prison. Can I share with you, just because we're always doing right or we're trying to do right, and even declaring God's word doesn't mean everything works out fine. And we know we're living in some pretty dark days for Christianity in America. And, you know, it could well be the Christians are going to start going to jail. Just added that little high note, you know, to cheer you up a little bit. Anyway, when Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon, and into the cabins. He's in the dungeon. He's in the cell. That's the cabin. He's locked up. And Jeremiah had remained there many days. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah said, "There is. For said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." By the way, that's not what the king wanted to hear. But it was true. Today I want to preach a message on the idea, is there any word from the Lord? Is there any word from the Lord? Let's pray. Father, thank you that there is a word from the Lord today. Thank you that you've given us your word. And Lord, we ask now that you would speak to us through your word about these things we're going to see this morning. No doubt you want to do a work in the hearts and lives of these dear sweet people who've come to church. And Lord, they didn't come to hear me, and they didn't come just to sing or to give the offering, while those things are nice. We've come together today that we might hear from heaven, that we might hear you speak to our heart. Now, Lord, we don't know if there are unsaved people in our midst. There may well be some people here today who've never come to Christ, never been born again, and they have no assurance that when they leave this life, they'll come to be with you. But you've given us assurance in your word that anyone who will come to Jesus Christ and believe on him will have, not might have, but will have eternal life. And we want to share that with people. Lord, use me today. I believe this is the message of the hour. I pray that you would help me to have the strength of voice and, Lord, the wisdom to preach as you would have me to preach, to say everything you want said, not to say anything you wouldn't want said. Bless our time together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there any word from the Lord? This passage we've read this morning is found in the portion of the Bible. We call this the major prophets. Now, we distinguish them, major prophets, minor prophets. And by the way, major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Some people put Daniel in there. And we call them major prophets, not because they're more important than the ones that follow, but because they're the longer ones. They're bigger ones, if you will. All the prophets are important, but these are the particular ones, Jeremiah being one of them. Now, Jeremiah, one of the prophets sent by God, and he's a prophet who is sent to Judah. Now, if you don't have this understanding, the people of Israel are now divided. There's been a division. They started with 12 tribes. But there was a division under Rehoboam. Now there's 2 tribes that we call Judah, 10 tribes that we call Israel. 10 tribes live up in the north country. 2 tribes live in the south country. You got it? Israel in the north, how many tribes? Talk to me. Israel's in the north. How many tribes? Judah's in the south. How many tribes? Two. Judah owns Jerusalem. So now we have Jeremiah coming to Judah, to the king of Judah. I want you to understand that. Now, God sent prophets to Israel prior to her being carried off and captured to warn the people that judgment was coming. Israel, the 10 tribes up in the north, refused the prophets. They wouldn't listen. And God said, if you don't listen, judgment's coming. And pretty soon, the nation of Assyria came and captured Israel. How many tribes? How many in Israel? Come on, 10. Assyria comes and they take the 10 tribes and they carry them off and they bring other people in. And so that's all. Israel is in captivity, but Judah isn't. Not yet. So God is sending the prophet Jeremiah over there to talk to the people of Judah and to tell them they need to repent or this is what's going to happen. And of course, they don't want to repent. In this passage that we've read today, Jeremiah now is summoned out of the dungeon by King Zedekiah. This is a king that Nebuchadnezzar chose for the people of Judah. It wasn't their choice. And he calls for Jeremiah. I like this. He calls for him secretly. You ever wonder why he called secretly? You know, sometimes people want to know, but they don't want others to know that they want to know. I'll say that again. Sometimes people want to know, but they don't want others to know that they want to know. See? You'll find that in your own life. If you're really a Christian and you're letting your light shine, there'll be people who come to you secretly. They don't want anybody to know they're talking to you, but they're concerned about what you're saying, that they need Jesus. See? So the king calls for Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah comes and secretly, and he asks this question, is there any word from the Lord? Now understand, in Jeremiah's day, the Bible hadn't been written. And the way God spoke to people was through his prophets. Now we don't have that today. All right? The way God speaks to people today is through the Word of God, the Bible. They didn't have that. In the Old Testament, God would come upon a man and speak to the man and say, take my message to this one, or take my message. Like old Elijah, God said, go to Ahab and say it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. Go. He told Moses, go over there to Pharaoh and said, God said, let my people go. But see, today we have the Bible. We don't need prophets. See, God speaks through his word. But Jeremiah now is the spokesman of God to Judah. And he, you know, it's interesting that when he comes, the king says, is there any word from the Lord? The fact is, Jeremiah has been giving them the word of the Lord for probably 40 years. They don't want to listen. They refuse to hear and acknowledge the word of the Lord. So he asked this. You know, today we might be saying this. Jeremiah, does God have any new revelation for me? Does God have anything to say to me? And you see, this morning I believe we find ourselves in a much similar situation because God has given us his divine revelation in this blessed book, the Holy Bible. This is it. This is God speaking to us. Yet people today, just like in Jeremiah's day, refuse to accept it as God's word. A lot of people today deny the Bible as God's word. Oh, that's not God's word. You know, that man wrote that book. And there are some other people, listen, there are some people who say, well, yeah, that's God's word, but it has mistakes and errors. Some of it's God's word. And then there are some, listen, and this is where I'm going this morning with this bunch. There are some who would readily say, yeah, the Bible is God's word, but they refuse to hear it and obey it. Is there any word from the Lord? That's our subject this morning. I believe we have a word from the Lord. I believe we have it in this good old King James Bible. This is God's message for us today. And sadly, it's not just the unsaved who are uncertain about the Bible. Sadly, there are many professed Christians who are confused concerning the veracity of the Word of God. So this morning we're going to look at the idea that we need to believe and recognize this Bible as God's Word. Now, big point number one. We need to understand the Bible is God's provided Word. What do you mean by that, preacher? Go over to 1 Peter. That's in the other part of your Bible. Way back there by Revelation. 1 Peter, chapter 1. The Bible is God's provided word. Look at verse 20. I'm sorry, 2 Peter. I say 1 Peter, 2 Peter. Verse 20. You there? If not, just look up here. I'm going to read it. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Over in 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, look up here. Understand this. First and foremost, the Bible is not the product of any man's efforts. Oh, I find people, I say, you believe the Bible is God's Word? Oh, no, I believe men wrote the Bible. Well, let me share something with you. God used men to sit down and put the words on the paper or the parchment, whichever it might have been. Men took the pen and ink and wrote down the words. But they were not writing their words. They were writing the words of Almighty God as they were borne along by the very Holy Spirit to put down, you listening? You listening? The inspired words of God. Listen, we got a lot of folks playing around with the Bible and they want to change a word here and a word there and take a verse out and put a verse in. Hey, you better not mess with God's Word because these words are not the words men chose. Peter says these men were borne along by the Holy Spirit of God when Paul wrote and Peter wrote and James wrote and Moses wrote, all of them when they wrote, they were not sitting down saying, well, I think I'm going to write some Scripture today. No! The Holy Ghost came on them and said, God wants you to sit down and write what He has to be written. And they wrote what God wanted to be written. You know, that's what God breathed means. How do you speak? You speak through your breath. Your air goes through your vocal cords and vibrates them so that you say the words you want to say. God breathed this book. They're His words, not man's words. Oh, so many people have that idea. Well, man wrote the Bible. Oh, that's nonsense. Listen, there were 40 different authors. At least 40 different men wrote parts of this book. And they wrote over a 1,600-year period. Most of them had never met one another or talked with one another. And yet everything in this Bible dovetails, meets together, agrees. Listen, that's a miracle. And this is a miracle book. God breathed the Bible. He inspired the Bible. By the way, this Bible does not contain the mind of man, but the mind of God. Think about this for a minute. If the Bible was written by man, don't you think that man would be shown in a much better light than he's shown in the Bible? Think about it. The picture of man in the Bible is that we are vile and wicked sinners with no good thing to be found in us. If you've read your Bible, you found that out. Listen, God don't hold us up and say, what wonderful people you are. On the contrary, He says you're vile and wicked sinners. But, you know, by the same token, He shows us grace and mercy, etc. But the judgment of God on mankind would be, we're nothing but a bunch of low-down, dirty, rotten sinners who deserve hell. Now, if man wrote the Bible, you think he'd show us like that? I don't think so. If man was written by, if the Bible was written by man, do you think its prohibitions would be like they are? You know, think about this. If man wrote the Bible, do you think he would have put all those things that we're not supposed to do in the Bible? No. If man wrote the Bible, he wouldn't want any kind of restrictions on us. Man, everything would be legal. Huh? But man didn't write the Bible. If man wrote the Bible, it would not demand that we do things that go against our flesh. Have you ever read in the Bible where Jesus said we're to love our enemies and do good to them that despitefully use us? Now be honest with me. What man in his right mind would ever write that? If I was writing it, I wouldn't have written that. I would have said, you got an enemy? Get even. No, I would have said, get one up. Huh? Go after him. Destroy him. You got an enemy. God says, no, love your enemies. See, man didn't write this book. If man wrote this book, it'd be a whole lot different. If man wrote this book, the Bible reveals God's God's view of man's prohibitions for man and laws for living for man would be a whole lot different. See, there's a lot of people today that say, well, you know, the Bible's a nice book. Huh? I didn't grow up in a Christian home. How many of you did not grow up in a Christian home? Okay, how many of your homes had a Bible? You didn't grow up in a Christian home, but your home still had a Bible. Mine did. It was a nice book. Why? My mom got this. My brother bought it for over there in Korea when he came home. I don't know why it was special over there. Somehow he got it. But anyway, he got this Bible. It was about this big. And he gave that to my mother, and she put it on the coffee table. Right in the living room. It looked so nice. Every once in a while, one of us had dusted off, you know. And sometimes she put pictures or flowers or something in it. It was a nice book. Nobody ever read it. And that's the opinion of a lot of people. Oh, it's just a nice book. And sometimes people read, oh, it's full of nice stories. But do you believe it's the Word of God? It is. Listen, we need to recognize the Bible as the Word of God. Number one, by recognizing it's God's provided Word. And number two, recognizing it's God's preserved Word. Go over to Psalms and the 12th Psalm. And look what God says there. By the way, is this God's book? Did God say this? Okay, look what God says. He says right there in verse 6. The words, did you get that? Hey, listen, you might want to circle that. Words of the Lord are pure words. He says, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Look at the next verse. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Okay, look up here. Hey. The Bible says God is going to preserve His Word. Did you see it? Did I make it up? Is it in the Bible? Okay, if God's going to preserve His words from this generation forever, then His words must be somewhere today. You agree with me? Okay, where are they? If God is going to preserve His words, where are they? Not a trick question. We have them right there. God preserved them. Listen, God inspired His Word, and God has preserved His Word for this generation. Listen, every generation that ever exists on this earth is going to have the Word of God somewhere. I was reading over there about Yehudi. How many of you know who Yehudi was? You do? You know who Yehudi was? He was the guy who took the penknife when the king had them reading the Word of God out of the temple to him, and he didn't like it, so he had them burning it. Jeremiah's giving it, sent it over to the king, and the king's burning it. You say, well, there it went. There went God's words. No, God said, Jeremiah, all right, sit down and write them again. Why? Because they're going to be preserved. See, they will always be available to every generation. We have them today. We have to ask ourselves that question then, where are the words of God? We have them in our hand. Now, Revelation chapter 22, go over there. That's all the way at the back of your Bible. And we find this. God has preserved His words, and He preserved them just like He wants us to have them. See, listen. When God wrote this book and put it all together, at the end, God put His seal on it and He said, don't mess with it. I've written like I want it written. My words are just like I want them to be. Now, you leave it alone and don't you mess with it. You say, where'd you get that? I read the Bible. I got over in Revelation chapter 22 here. I got down there, verse 18. God says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. See, God said, don't mess with my word. This is my word. I've had my prophets write it. I've had it written just like I want it with the words that I want. Now leave it alone. He preserved it. The Bible is God's word. It's His preserved word. It's His perfect words. Let me share this with you. God says His words are pure. That means that they don't need any more refining. He's already refined them. That means we don't need to fool around with them. In Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. And God's words are true words. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Every word of God's book is true and accurate. Now look up here. I want you to get this. There are no errors. There are no mistranslations in the Word of God. God's given it in truth, and He's preserved it in truth. And we said, His words are protected. He sealed them. Now, there are many new translations out on the market today. You might be holding one in your hand. Listen, I'm not picking on you, but I'm going to tell you this. You've got a book where they've changed the Word of God. They've come along and said, well, that don't mean this, and that don't mean that, and this verse shouldn't be here, and the oldest manuscripts say this isn't there and that isn't there. Listen, friend, when I got my Bible, I wanted all of it. I didn't want verses left out. I didn't want words left out. Check your Bible for Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Make sure the blood's in there. Check your Bible for Acts chapter 2 verse 30, Fred, is it 38? Acts 2:38, I think, is missing in a lot of new translations. And we could go on and on and on with verses that are either missing or have been changed. Listen, nobody has a right to change God's Word. I said nobody has a right to change God's Word. You know what happens when a man changes God's Word? Here's what he's saying. I'm smarter than God. Any of you smarter than God? I know I'm not. We need to recognize the Bible as God's provided word. We need to recognize it as preserved word. And then we need to recognize it as pertinent word. Go over to 119, Psalm 119. This whole psalm is about the word of God start to finish. I love it. I can't remember what it was now. I counted one time how many references there were to the word of God in this psalm, 100 and some. Every verse refers to the word of God in some way. So we're in Psalm 119, beginning with verse 97. That should be easy to find because it's separated under MEM. M-E-M. You want a little education today? Here you go. People say, well, why does that Psalm 119 have all those headings? Every section of Psalm 119 is divided by one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. That's why it's divided that way. So we're down to MEM. And he says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And then look at verse 5. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Wow. Here's the psalmist, and he's rehearsing what the word of God means to him. And just in this one little section, notice a couple of things. He says God's word tells us how to handle difficult situations. He says there in verse 98, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. Because his commandments are ever with me. Hey, you want to be wiser than your enemies? Get your nose in the book. How many of you think God's pretty smart? How many of you think he's smarter than your enemy? You read his book, you get God's wisdom instead of your wisdom to handle your enemies. Then he says this. He says, look at verse 100. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Listen, he's saying, I have knowledge above those who are supposedly older or wiser. Not because of me, but because I got the knowledge from God. Listen, there's a lot of people who are considered by society to be wise, but they don't know anything. See, they're wise in worldly knowledge, but they're not wise in God's principles and precepts. And so we can get into the Word, and we get God's understanding how to handle our difficulties. We get God's Word tells us how to live cleanly. 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy Word. Hey, you want to know how you're supposed to live? How many of you are Christians here today? How many of you want to live the way a Christian lives? How do you know? We don't put out a bulletin on here's how you should live. Yeah, that's it, Brother Dennis. The preacher stands up every week and he says, get your nose in the book! Set aside a time, study, learn what God says because God tells you how to live. Huh? You know, the reason a lot of people aren't living for the Lord is because they don't have their nose in a book. They go hand in hand. God's word gives us direction and leadership. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Lord, what should I do? Where should I go? How should I? And God will say, hey, here's what you need to do today. And then God will set the plan for your life and give you the pathway. You see, there are so many people who don't know the pertinence of God's Word. They look at it as an ancient book. It has nothing to do with today's living. Listen, friend, you read this book, you're going to find out. And I found out when I first started reading the Bible, man, it's like reading today's newspaper. It's as relevant as anything that's written today. Relevant for our daily lives. Then number four, God's Bible is productive. The productive Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Isaiah 55, 11. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Listen, friend, we have a book that's alive, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, the Bible says, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, it's God's word that breaks through into a cold and hard heart to bring a person to salvation. When you got saved, it was God's word that convicted and convinced you that you needed to get saved. You say, how you know that? Because the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How many of you got saved by reading Reader's Digest? Somebody told you some nice things they read in Reader's Digest, you got saved. How many of you got saved by reading the morning call? You're reading the newspaper and all of a sudden you say, I need to get saved. How many of you got saved when somebody told you what the Bible said? That you're a low down, dirty, rotten sinner, deserves hell, and God loves you, and He sent Jesus to die for you, and Jesus died on the cross, and if you accept Him, you can be saved. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. How many of you got saved when you heard the Bible, the truth of the Bible? Yeah, see? Listen, this is a powerful book. It's a productive book. You said you got saved by the Word of God. How many had your lives changed by the Word of God? You're different than you used to be. Julio wears that shirt. I'm not the man I ought to be, but I'm sure not the man I used to be. How'd that happen? You saw in this Bible how God said, hey, you need to stop doing that. Hey, you need to start doing this. Hey, you need to check your heart here. Hey, you need to. You saw it in the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit said, hey, that's you. You know, I got saved when I was 24, 25, somewhere in there, and I don't have time to do the math. Anyway, I got saved, and my life changed dramatically. But it wasn't me. To be honest with you, I wasn't looking to change. You with me? Man, I was skating along in life like everybody else. Can company worker, making a good buck. You know, enjoying the things of life like everybody does. Hey, everything's good. And one day God got a hold of my heart and said, no, everything isn't good. You're not good. You need to get saved. And I got saved. And all of a sudden, I found myself, I'm not skating in this direction anymore. I'm skating in this direction. Amen? That's salvation. Changed my life. I just started living. We sang it under the tent. Love that song. Reminds me of me. Now listen, without the preaching of the word, there is no salvation. A lot of people are going to go to church today. In Easton, you can go all over town. There's going to be church services. In America, all over our country, going to be church services. And people are going to go in. Somebody's going to say some nice things. You know, maybe tell a few jokes. We don't tell jokes here. Say some nice things. You know, people are going to go out. Nobody's going to get saved. Because nobody opened that book and said, here's what God says. They might hear about the current events. They might hear about this or that or the next thing or Aunt Susie's illness. But nobody preaches the word. And if nobody preaches the word, nobody's going to get saved. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. By the way, we read about old revivals that have happened. You know, every one of them was a result of preaching this book. Number five. We need to see the Bible as God's Word, God's perfecting Word. The psalmist over there in 119 said this, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Again, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that means mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See, one thing this book does, and so it's something that keeps people away from this book. When you read this book, it points out all your imperfections. Yeah. James talks about looking into the Word, or the mirror of the Word of God. How many of you, well, I won't ask that. I was going to ask how many of you looked in the mirror this morning. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Most of you did. You say, how do you know that? Because you look pretty good. Huh? You know what you did this morning? You got out of bed. You went over there and looked in that mirror and you said, oh, who's that? Oh. You gals went over and you said, oh, I got to do something with that. I can't go to church like this. And so the process started. The sanding, the painting, you know, all that mess. Huh? And you got all gussied up here, and here you are. You look pretty good. And I'll bet probably before you left your house, you took one last look. Okay. Huh? Or maybe you looked in the mirror and you said, oh no, my lipstick's crooked. Oh no, I didn't know I had a runner. Huh? And then when that happened, what did you do? Oh no, I didn't know I had a big slit in my dress. So you said, oh, that's okay, I'll go anyway. I don't think so. Now you guys might have done that, you know. I got stains in my tie. Oh yeah, that reminds me when I had meatloaf. Yeah, yeah, and that one reminds me when I had lasagna. Let's go to church. But not your wife. She says, I got to fix that. How'd she find out it needed fixed? She looked in the mirror. See, if she hadn't looked in the mirror, she would have no idea, would she? But when she looked in that mirror, the reflection came back and showed her, this needs fixed. And so she went back and fixed it. Listen, we get in the Word of God and we're reading along and all of a sudden God slaps us. Hey, that needs fixed. How do we know that? God said. We looked into the mirror of God's Word and it reflected our imperfection. God said, you should be doing this. And I said, I'm not doing that. God said, that's right. It's an imperfection. Fix it. Amen? So the Word of God is a perfecting Word. See, He's wanting to bring us to maturity. He's wanting to bring us to the place where we're like Jesus. And that's what helps us to grow. Listen. Immature Christians are always trying to find some kind of an argument against God's Word or against justification for not obeying God's Word. I've faced them, you know, they're immature Christians. They haven't grown to that place where they've just yielded themselves to the Lord and they want to keep doing something in their life that God says they shouldn't be doing, and so they try to justify it. You know, illustration. Well, you can't find not smoking cigarettes in the Bible anywhere. It doesn't say anywhere you shouldn't smoke a cigarette. No, don't. But as a Christian, you shouldn't smoke a cigarette. You say, well, why not? It doesn't say in the Bible. Well, the Bible says your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you're not supposed to do anything that would desecrate this temple. And listen, you can go out to the unsaved people out there. You don't have to ask Christians. Go ask the unsaved people if smoking a cigarette desecrates this body, harms this body. See? People want to do all kinds of things, you know. They want to go here and do this and do that, and doesn't matter how I dress, doesn't matter where I go. Yes, it does. But they're always trying to justify it. Why don't you quit trying to justify and just say, okay, Lord, whatever you say. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to do what you say. Is there any word from the Lord? Yes, there is. And today, listen, you ought to thank God every day for the word of the Lord. How many of you have a Bible? Hold your Bible up if you have a Bible. Hold it up. We sang that old song, I Love the Old Bible, the other night. Put it down. When's the last time you thanked God for that book you have in your hand? How many of you own more than one Bible? Hold up your hand if you own more than one Bible. Put it down. You understand there are many places in this world where Christians who love God don't even have a Bible of their own. I've heard of places where there will be one Bible amongst a bunch of believers, and they will divide it and share different parts and circulate different parts because nobody has a whole Bible. In China, if you have a Bible, you're going to jail. Yeah. Some places they rejoice if they can have one page of the Bible. There are places where people have never seen one page. And how many do you have? When's the last time you thank God for it? And when's the last time you read it? We're so accustomed to having it, it just lost its value to a lot of people. Yeah, I got a Bible. They come to church, they carry it. I like this. They come in with it tucked under their arm. I'm a Bible believer. I believe that old King James 1611. Church is over. They throw it in the back seat of the car. They don't see it again until next Sunday. No. Listen, friend. This is your bread. This is your bread. You better be. And you ought to thank God you have it. This is the word of the Lord. Listen, these are God's words. Not mine, not any man. And again, you get these other perversions, I believe all you're getting is man's ideas. Somebody sat down and said, this don't belong there and that don't belong there. Listen, I got what God said I should have. This is the Word of God in the English language, just like God said we should have it. You know, I've been preaching long enough, I would venture to guess this. There's probably some folks in here. And you say, well, I got another version. I like it. I'll challenge you. You take your version and you take a 1611 King James Bible and you lay them side by side and see if they're the same. See if there's anything missing. See if somebody added something. Well, it's easier to read. Get a life, man. Written on a level of a sixth grade education. Listen, I'm not the brightest bulb in the pack either, but I can read it. Huh? Oh, those these and thous really confuse me. Really? You know why you just said that? Because somebody told you that. Oh, those these and thous, they're so confusing. No, just get yourself a little grammar book and figure out what thee and thou really is. It's not hard. Huh? Is there any word from the Lord? I got good news for you. There is. I got it. If you got to go to old King James Bible, you got it. Is there any word from the Lord? Yeah, we need to understand what it is, respect of what it is, get our nose in it, study it, learn it, and live by it. Because it's the Word of God. Let's bow our heads. God's given us His Word. He made it available to us. He's preserved it for us. He made sure we have it just like He wants us to have it. By the way, what kind of a God would we have? How weak of a God would we have if He couldn't preserve His Word? If He had to depend on men to refine His Word to what it really means? No, we have an awesome God. And He's given us His Word, and He says, now, get in it, learn of Me, follow Me, get in it, grow as a believer, get in it, learn of Me. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I wonder how many would say, preacher, I want to be honest today. I have not really valued my Bible like I should. I'm glad for my Bible and all, but I really have never really thought how privileged I am to have in my hands the very words of Almighty God. And today, God's given me a great appreciation for my Bible. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. Hold it up high. God bless you. Put it down. I wonder how you're going to say, preacher, I have not been faithful in getting into the Bible and reading the Bible and studying the Bible and learning of God like I ought to. And today God's speaking to my heart about it. Here's my hand. I'll be honest. I just haven't been doing it. I need to do it. Here's my hand. God bless you. I wonder how many here today say, preacher, I've been in the Bible. But you know, preacher, there's some things in there that really bother me. There are some things that tell me I shouldn't be doing what I like to do. There are some things in there that rub me the wrong way. And preacher, I've been fighting those things. I've been making excuses. I've been trying to justify what I've been doing. Today, God's stripping it all of it away, and He's saying to me, hey, just submit yourself to my word. Just submit yourself to what I say. I wonder if there's some folks in here today this morning say, that's me, preacher. That's me, preacher. God's speaking to me. Here's my hand. Nobody's looking but me. I see hands going up. Preacher, that's me. There are some areas where I just want to argue with God. But today I say, I just need to submit. He's right. I'm wrong. Here's my hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. One other thing. How many this morning would say, preacher, I see the need to share the Word of God with other people. You said nobody gets saved without somebody giving them the Word of God. And today, God's burning my heart to be more faithful, to give out tracts, give a word of witness, and talk to people about Jesus, giving them the Scriptures. God burdened me today. Here's my heart and my hand. God bless you. God bless you. One more question. Are you saved? I never want to assume that anybody in a church a service is saved. I don't know. God knows. If you're not saved this morning, would you just look at me? Just look at me eyeball to eyeball for a minute. You've never come to Christ. You don't know you're going to heaven when you die. Are you concerned about it? In just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. If that's your situation, we invite you to come. We'll show you how to be saved. Let's stand together. Father, bless the invitation. We've done all we know how to do. Thank you for this wonderful book you've given us, a miracle book. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Song number? 489. I surrender all. Will you come today? Will you come? We're going to sing. Will you come? 489. I surrender all. Right now, God's speaking to your heart. Just step out and come. Right now, God's speaking to your heart. Raise your hand. You say, God spoke to me. Come on. Right now. Right now. Many raised their hand. Right now. God spoke to me. I want to speak to Him right now. Maybe you just need to come and thank God for the Bible you have in your hand. Will you come? Will you come? God speak in your heart. Will you come? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Is there any word from the Lord? It's right here. It's right here. We carry it around and we're very kind of loose with it and things. We need to get back to believing and respecting it like we ought to. This is God speaking to me. What a joy it is to get up in the morning and open that Bible and have my Heavenly Father speak to me. Little old me. Insignificant me. But He loves me enough, He'll speak to me. By the way, if you'll read your Bible, He'll speak to you. He loves you. He wants to talk to you. He does it through His Word. Oh, it's wonderful. Listen, it hurts, but it's wonderful to read His Word. Be reading along there and something slap you upside the head. Say, hey, need to get this straightened out. It's a wonderful thing to know God's still speaking to me. He does it through His Word. We're going to sing another verse of that invitation hymn. Will you come? Will you come? If you're not saved, will you come?